This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, a program sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Millbury, Leicester, and Oxford, and thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, I will be reading recent articles about Auburn, Grafton, Millbury, and Sutton from a variety of news sources covering these communities. This is Arnie Wenske. Thank you for joining me. I hope all of you have been enjoying this wonderful summer weather we've been having. Now to the news, information, and announcements for the town of Auburn. There is no select board meeting this week. However, there are other town meetings taking place during the week of July 27th, beginning with Wage Theft Committee, 6 p.m. in the select board room at Town Hall. On Tuesday, July 28th, the Auburn Cultural Council will be meeting at 6:30 p.m. via Zoom. And finally, on Wednesday, July 29th, the Agricultural Committee will be meeting at 7 p.m. in the select board room of Town Hall. The following announcements are for the town of Auburn. We have a question and answer starting with, sidewalks are for strolling. Question, can I park my car on the sidewalk? Answer, no. Auburn Town Bylaws says streets and sidewalks must stay clear. That applies to everyone, homeowners, visitors, and landscaping crews alike. If you spot a sidewalk or street that's been turned into a parking lot or work zone, give us a call. Together, we can keep Auburn safe, accessible, and moving for everyone. Thanks for being an extra set of eyes in the neighborhood. Call 508-832-7777 to report a parking violation. Once again, that number to report a parking violation, 508-832-7777. Our next announcement from the town of Auburn, dated July 20th, Auburn Summer Farmers and Cultural Market, every Thursday through September 3rd at the Pappas Recreation Complex from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. For more information on the Farmers Market, please call 508-832-7736. Next announcement from the town of Auburn, become an election worker. The town clerk's office is looking for election workers. Interested? Contact Ginger Buto, the town clerk, by calling 508-832-7701. Duties include check-in registered voters, distribute ballots, monitor election equipment, and maintain election integrity. Once again, contact Ginger Buto, the town clerk, at 508-832-7701 if you're interested in becoming an election worker. Our next announcement comes from the Auburn Mass Police Department's Facebook page, dated July 21st. Less than 1 month. Our annual summer send-off planning is in full swing. Mark your calendars for Tuesday, August 11, 2026, starting from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Lemansky Park, 22 Brayman Street. And that, once again, is the Auburn Police Department presents summer send-off on Tuesday, August 11th, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Lemansky Park. Our next announcement from the Auburn Mass Police Department, dated July 20th, our back-to-school drive is in full swing. We are collecting in the lobby of the police department and also have links for you to shop from. Help us support Auburn's youth and family services to ensure all Auburn students have a successful year. Some of the items that are needed are backpacks, pencil pouches, pens, pencils, highlighters, colored pencils, crayons, markers, dry erase markers, notebooks, folders, 1 1/2 inch binders, black, Sharpies, stylus, and certainly gift cards are also very much welcome. Once again, that is the Auburn Police Department's Back to School Supply Drive, started on July 10th and running through August 15th. Our next announcement is from the Auburn Chamber of Commerce. Join us for a business after hours on July 28th from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Chester P. Tuttle, Post 88 on Bancroft Street, Auburn. There will be a cash bar and light snacks will be provided. Please note, this event is in conjunction with the Tuttle Car Show. Overflow parking is available at the Webster 5 parking lot next door. Once again, that is the Business After Hours, sponsored by the Auburn Chamber of Commerce, on July 28th. Our next announcement is from the Auburn Youth and Family Services. Mark your calendars now for the Auburn Walk for Hunger that is scheduled for Sunday, September 27th at 1 p.m. All proceeds raised will support the Auburn Youth and Family Services Food Pantry and Kateri's Kitchen. No family should go hungry, and your support will help to ensure that is the case. Thank you. That, once again, is the 2026 Auburn Walk for Hunger for the benefit of Auburn Youth and Family Services Food Pantry and Kateri's Kitchen. The Auburn Youth and Family Services is located at 21 Pheasant Court in Auburn. Following announcement is from the Auburn Friends of the Auburn Public Library. Saturday morning cartoon event. Next event is on Saturday, July 25th, starting at 10 a.m., called Brave. No registration is required. 369 Southbridge Street. For more details, contact the library at 508-832-7790. The information and announcements are from the Auburn, Massachusetts Senior Center, located at 4 Goddard Drive in Auburn. Contact the Senior Center at 508-832-7799. The Auburn Senior Center is open Monday and Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Following are a list of the monthly programs and services available at the Auburn Senior Center. Mondays, first Monday of the month, is the Blood Pressure Clinic from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m., provided by Care Central VNA and Hospice Inc. No appointment is needed. The second Monday of the month, Caregiver Support Group, starting at 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. for caregivers of someone with Alzheimer's or dementia. It's a drop-in. On Tuesdays, second Tuesday of the month, there's the Men's Club from 9 to 10 a.m., a social group for men. No reservation required, just drop in. They are not meeting during the month of August. They'll start their meeting again in September. On Tuesdays, also third Tuesday of the month, Loss and Grief Support Group, starting at 1:30 till 2:30, facilitated by the Salmon Health. Call the Senior Center to register. And on Wednesdays each month, first Wednesday of the month, there's Senator Michael Moore's office, hours from 9:30 to 10:30. It's just drop-in, no registration required. And then the third Wednesday of the month, the Veterans Agent Coffee Hour with Dave Adams, starting at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. No registration required, just drop in. Now, daily, join us each morning for complimentary coffee, tea, and pastries. Browse our selection of books and puzzles, all available free of charge at the Senior Center. Stop in, relax, and enjoy. Also, the Transportation Services, the Auburn Senior Center, and the Worcester Regional Transit Authority, WRTA, offer shared ride transportation for Auburn residents age 60 and older, individuals with disabilities of all ages. The van provides home pickup and may make additional stops for other riders. To set up an account or schedule a ride, call the Worcester Regional Transit Authority at 508-752-9283. There are also weekly programs at the Auburn Senior Center, including Senior Sweat, every Monday at 10 a.m., a $3 donation with Dr. Harvey Claremont. The class emphasizes balance, stretching, and strengthening, also posture, coordination, and working essential muscle groups. Then on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9:30 a.m., there's chair dance for a $3 donation with 40 Arroyo, seated, fun, and energizing exercise with upbeat music. Then every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m., Gentle Flow Yoga, $3 donation with Holly Burrish, fitness instructor, slow-paced, strength, flexibility, mobility, and holding postures. Then every Tuesday at 1 p.m. to 1:45 p.m. for a $3 donation, Classic Cardio Blast with Holly Burrish, fitness instructor. Get your heart pumping and muscles working through strength training, balance, and flexibility. On second Monday of each week at 8:45, there's no fee for Tai Chi with Crystal Dage, certified instructor, includes slow, rhythmic patterns of movement. Then every Wednesday and Friday at 10 a.m., $3 donation, strength and balance with Lynn Hulgren, ACE certified fitness instructor, strengthen and tone your body while improving your mobility. Every Wednesday at 9 a.m., there's Pound. This will resume in September. Then, every Thursday at 1 p.m., there's no fee. iPad Club, join us as we socialize and investigate the world of iPad and iPhone apps. And every Friday at 11 a.m., no fee, meditation with Usha Verma, the outreach coordinator. Establish positive effect on health, well-being, sleep problems, chronic pain, anxiety, and depression. Also at the Auburn Senior Center, American Sign Language every Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. There's no fee with Laurie McGarry. Learn more about ASL and how it all works to enable communication. On Wednesdays at 6 p.m., there's cribbage. On Fridays, there's bridge at 12:45 p.m. Then there's a walking club. We meet every Monday and Wednesday at 9 a.m. Call the Senior Center for location. And dominoes on Fridays at 12:45 p.m. And every Friday at noon, quilting. No experience is necessary. And then the weekly tech clinic every Wednesday from 11 to noon, no charge, with Scott Bader. If you're having trouble or having any questions with computers, phones, or tablets, drop in, call the center to confirm clinic is being held. And every Thursday from 12:45, there's bingo. And on Wednesdays, there is pitch at 1 p.m. And on Fridays, 6:30 p.m., pitch. Lunch is served daily at the Auburn Senior Center. On Thursdays, lunch is served at 11:45 a.m. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, lunch is served at noon. Remember, if you'd like to join us for lunch, please mark your reservations or make your reservations 2 days in advance at 508-832-7799. A donation of $3 is suggested. The following is the menu for the next week. Beginning on Wednesday, July 29th, there's beef stir fry with steamed rice, peas, and onions. And then on Thursday, July 30th, there's honey mustard pork, seasoned potatoes, and carrots. And then on Friday, July 31st, the last day of the month, chicken cranberry salad, pasta salad, three bean salad. On Monday, August 3rd, there's vegetable cheese bake, seasoned potatoes, green beans. And on Tuesday, August 4th, ranch, chicken, veggie, couscous, spinach. And then on Wednesday, there's hot dog, baked beans, and coleslaw. Once again, you need to make your reservation 2 days in advance to have lunch on any of the days at 508-832-7799. Following are some of the programs and activities available at the Auburn Senior Center during the month of August, beginning with East-West Duo on Monday, August 10th at 12:45 p.m., RSVP 508-832-7799. Join us for musical entertainment with East-West Duo and an ice cream social sponsored by the Friends of the Auburn Senior Center. That is the East-West Duo on Monday, August 10th, starting at 12:45. To reserve a spot, call the Senior Center at 508-832-7799. On Tuesday, August 11th, starting at 1 p.m., tick disease, what you should know. As warmer weather brings more outdoor activities, it's important to be aware of tick-borne diseases. Join us for an informative presentation on tick-borne diseases and learn things such as common tick-borne illnesses, including Lyme disease, signs and symptoms to watch for after a tick bite, effective prevention strategies for you and your family, proper tick removal techniques, when to seek medical attention and treatment. Don't miss this opportunity to gain valuable information for staying safe and healthy during tick season. This program will be presented by Dr. Harvey Claremont. Dr. Claremont will provide a comprehensive overview and explain everything you need to know. This on August 11th, Tuesday at 1 p.m., tick disease, what you should know. Call 508-832-7799 to reserve a spot. Then on Wednesday, August 12th at 1 p.m., all about brain health. Looking to keep your mind sharp and stay informed? Come join us for a fun and friendly presentation with Kim Church, home care consultant for Right at Home. She knows how to talk about the important stuff in a way that's easy to understand, and she truly cares helping people live well as they age. This talk is all about brain health, what you can do to keep your brain active, what's fact and what's fiction, and how to plan ahead with confidence. The presentation is relaxing and interactive, so feel free to ask questions, share information, or just listen in. There will be fun prizes, giveaways, and plenty of time to mingle. This program, All About Brain Health, on Wednesday, August 12th at 1 p.m., call to register 508-832-7799. The following article is from the July 23rd, 2026 edition of the Worcester Telegram Gazette, entitled Central Massachusetts Music Venue Will Close at the End of the Year. Auburn, Halligan's Bar, Sports Bar, Music Venue, and Function Hall has announced it will close at the end of the year. It has been an extremely emotional and difficult decision, but Paul, Gus, and I have decided that Saturday, December 12, 2026, will be Halligan's last day, the owners wrote on social media on Wednesday, July 22nd, adding that they have decided to enjoy retirement, travel, and just enjoy our next chapter. According to the business website, Steve Bertel and Paul Brosnahan purchased the bar at 889 Southbridge Street in November of 2015. For 11 years, you have all been the absolute light of our life. The announcement reads, "We have shared every joy, sorrow, and Triumph together. The venue has one last hurrah planned for December 12th, starting at 1 p.m. The venue promises many great bands, food, and a day full of love and light. Just last year, Halligan's hosted a fundraiser for Paul Stavrovsky, a well-known veteran with several local bands, in his fight against stage 4 lung cancer. Next article comes from the July 24th edition of the Auburn News. Girl Scout troops welcome new members. Girls entering kindergarten and first grade in the fall are invited to join Troop 65600, which meets in Auburn every other Tuesday from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., and Troops 655999 meets every other Thursday in Dudley from 6 to 7:15 p.m. Girl membership registration fee is $111 and is active until September 30th, 2027. Financial assistance is available. Girl Scouts is the premier organization for girls to learn about leadership, financial literacy, life skills, the outdoors, community service, science, and technology. Girl Scout programming is customizable for all types of learners. Previous Girl Scout experience is not necessary. You can register for the Girl Scouts and Brownies at 508-365-0115. About Girl Scouts of Central and Western Massachusetts, nearly 6,000 girls are served in grades K, kindergarten through 12, with a strong support of over 2,500 adult volunteers in 186 towns and cities in central and western Massachusetts. The Girl Scout program allows girls to discover the fun, friendship, and power of girls together while building their personal leadership qualities. The Girl Scouts of Central and Western Massachusetts supports girls by giving them extraordinary opportunities to explore, experience, and learn about their world, and helps girls recognize that they are vital members of their communities. For more information and any questions, contact the Girl Scouts of Central and Western Massachusetts by calling 508-365-0115. Next article from the Auburn News, dated July 24th. Auburn residents sets out to raise awareness for frontal temporal degeneration. The Jim Tobin Memorial is inviting the community to support two upcoming events dedicated to raising awareness of frontal temporal degeneration, known as FTD, advancing research, and advocating for families affected by the disease. The third annual Jim Tobin Memorial Golf Tournament will be held on Saturday, September 26th at Holden Hills Country Club. Registration is now open for foursomes at $500 per team, and individuals who do not golf are welcome to attend the Italian buffet lunch for $40 with advance registration. The event will also feature raffles, contests, and sponsorship opportunities. Net proceeds will benefit the Frontal Temporal Disorders Research Center at UMass Chan Memorial and the Association for Frontal Temporal Degeneration. On Sunday, September 6th, Auburn resident and David Prouty High School graduate Devin Tobin will take on the From Lab to Legislator Walk, a 40-mile one-man journey from UMass Chan Medical School in Worcester to the Massachusetts State House in Boston. Wearing a 40-pound weighted vest to symbolize the weight FTD places on families, he hopes to increase public awareness, support research, and encourage legislative action for those living with frontal temporal degeneration. Both events honor the memory of Jim Tobin, a longtime Spencer resident, Air Force veteran, husband, father, and grandfather who lived with FTD. Many members of the Tobin family, including Jim's wife, continue to call Spencer home and hope the community will join them in honoring Jim's legacy and supporting efforts to improve the lives of families affected by FTD. Our final article for the town of Auburn, but this will also be the first article for the town of Grafton. From the Telegram Gazette dated July 23rd, license plate readers in Auburn, Grafton, raise concerns over privacy. Two central Massachusetts towns have become the latest flashpoints in a nationwide debate about automated license plate readers from the company Flock Safety. The Auburn and Grafton Police Departments have signed contracts with the Surveillance Technology Corporation to deploy the cameras in their towns, according to July's social media posts. Some townspeople echoing concerns that have been voiced across the country and by the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, worry the breadth of the technology makes it ripe for abuse. City governments in Cambridge and Framingham recently voted to end their contracts with Flock Safety over the company's practices. In interviews with the Telegram Gazette and in their postings on social media, the law enforcement agencies have defended their decision, arguing the cameras are a powerful investigative tool and that their employed guardrails to protect residents' data. How does Flock technology work? Flock cameras are used to record vehicles' license plate numbers and other unidentifiable characteristics such as make, model, and color, and accessories like bike racks, according to the company's website. That information is later uploaded to a nationwide database that participating law enforcement agencies can search to track a vehicle's movement. How accessible one department's data is to another is based on the settings selected and the specifics of the contract with Flock, said Gideon Epstein, a technology for Liberty Policy Council at ACLU in Massachusetts. Both Grafton and Auburn police have said that other law enforcement agencies do not automatically have access to their cameras or data, and that all requests must be reviewed and approved by the departments. Since Flock Safety's founding in 2017, more than 80,000 cameras have been installed in 49 states across the country. As the technology has proliferated, the company has faced growing backlash from civil rights organizations and local municipalities over what they say are urgent privacy concerns. There will be 6 cameras installed in Auburn and 12 in Grafton, according to the police departments. The Auburn Police Department's contract with Flock comes after it secured a federal grant, and the select board voted 3-2 in March to approve its use of the technology. The sharing of drivers' data across departments is both the hottest flashpoint of the technology and what law enforcement agencies say is its biggest asset. Localized surveillance systems are helpful, but their limited reach can hamstring investigations when suspects travel in and out of cities and across state lines, said Auburn Police Chief Scott Mills in a phone interview with the Telegram and Gazette. He said the network Flock provides to users is the most attractive part of the technology. If someone commits a crime in Auburn and they leave and go elsewhere, we have a chance to find out where they went and whether they went to commit other crimes or they went back to where they reside, said Mills. It just kind of closes the loop on some of those things. Claudio Neves Valente, the man who shot and killed 2 students at Brown University in December 2025 before traveling to Massachusetts and killing an MIT professor, was tracked down in part using Flock technology, even though Neves Valente had changed his car's license plates, the cameras were able to identify the vehicle based on other characteristics, according to the affidavit in the case. You can't help but go back and say, had we had this technology all along, what crimes could we have solved, said Mills. Grafton Police Chief Neil Minardi did not respond to the Telegram and Gazette's request for an interview for this story. Past misuses. Concerned residents conceded in interviews with the Telegram Gazette that Flock cameras are an effective tool, but they say the risks outweigh any potential benefits. Their mistrust lies largely with flock safety, not with local law enforcement agencies. Yeah, I mean, why dig a hole with a shovel when you can have an excavator? But that doesn't make it right, said Grafton resident Cameron Carletti, who has noticed the cameras popping up around town. This is a private company with very little accountability. Epstein pointed at three categories of controversial use of technology. A growing number of officers have been fired for conducting unauthorized searches of the database, including to stalk former romantic partners, TNG affiliate newspapers have reported. In Texas, law enforcement queried the national surveillance data for a death investigation into a woman who had self-administered an abortion, according to audit ordered by Illinois Secretary of State. Flock said the woman's family was trying to locate her. Flock query logs obtained by the ACLU through public records requests show that, among Massachusetts departments sharing their data nationwide, external searches have been made for the purpose of immigration enforcement, according to Epstein. Both Auburn and Grafton police departments have said the data will not be used for immigration enforcement. However, Epstein suggested that local agencies' abilities to safeguard the data from unintended uses is not always as foolproof as they think, owing in large part to Flock's nebulous contract stipulations. The company continues to change their terms and conditions, and municipalities that contact with Flock have the opportunity to receive notice or reject the changes, said Epstein. We think that municipalities should be super careful about any kind of contract language that might grant the private vendor access to disclose this kind of license plate reader data. Vera Corain, an Auburn resident, stressed that she thinks the Auburn Police Department has good intentions and means no harm to the community. But she says Flock's past pokes holes in its credibility. Of course, we all want to do whatever we can to prevent crime, but what we don't want to do is put every single citizen under a microscope and collect information about them that could at some point be used in ways that we're not thinking of now, she said. Corain, whose husband, Todd Corain, was one of Auburn Select Board members to vote down the technology, is collecting signatures to put the department's contract with Flock on the agenda of Auburn's special town meeting in October of 2026. Mills said the immediate response from townspeople came at a bit of a surprise to him. I understand where the fervor is or where the upset comes from, and I do emphasize or empathize with them in that sense, he said, but I also think that the positive and practical uses of it for investigative purposes are equally important. Future of the technology. Auburn police have entered an 18-month contract with Flock, during which time they will be assessing the efficacy and necessity of the technology, said the chief. It's unclear when Grafton's contract with the company is up for renewal. It's like everything else, whether it's a program or a piece of equipment, we implement it and see if we think it's worthwhile, Mills said, stressing his decades-long career in law enforcement. And the Flock system is no different. We're going to look at this year into it, and if we say, okay, there's still a ton of community backlash and we haven't solved any crimes because of it, then we'll reevaluate it. In the meantime, residents say they will continue with their everyday routines, unable to avoid the camera's reaches. It's not like I'm a criminal or that I'm doing anything nefarious. I'm just trying to go about my life, and I don't want to feel as if Big Brother's watching me all the time, said Carletti. The following Facebook posting from Grafton Police Department relates to our previous article about Flock in the Telegram Gazette. Information regarding Flock safety cameras. The Grafton Police Department has installed 12 safety license plate readers known as LPR cameras throughout the community as another tool to enhance public safety. The program was reviewed and approved through the town's established public process. We know this technology has raised questions in communities across the country. Those questions are understandable, and we believe they deserve clear, factual answers. Here's what these cameras do. Capture license plates and vehicle characteristics. Help locate stolen vehicles, wanted suspects, and missing or endangered persons. Assist in criminal investigations. Here's what they do not do. They do not use facial recognition technology. They do not identify drivers or passengers. They do not track cell phones or other personal devices. They do not issue traffic citations or automate traffic enforcement. The Grafton Police Department owns and controls all data collected through the system. Data is automatically deleted after 30 days unless it is preserved as part of a criminal investigation. Every search must be tied to a legitimate law enforcement purpose. Access is limited to authorized personnel, and every search is logged and subject to audit. The Grafton Police Department will not grant access to LPR data for the purpose of civil immigration enforcement. Other law enforcement agencies do not automatically have access to Grafton's cameras or data. Any request for access must be reviewed and approved by the Grafton Police Department. Transparency is a priority. Department policies, audit information, and transparency reports will be available through the Flock Transparency Portal, which will be linked on the Grafton Police Department's website. Our commitment is simple: to use this technology responsibly, transparently, and only for legitimate public safety purposes, while respecting the privacy and constitutional rights of the people that we serve. Next announcement from the Grafton Police Department Facebook page, dated July 21st. Congratulations and happy retirement, Sergeant Michael Mazzola. On July 9th, the Grafton Police Department proudly recognized the retirement of Sergeant Michael A. Mazzola after 31 years of dedicated service to our department and the Grafton community. Throughout his distinguished career, Sergeant Mazzola served with professionalism, integrity, and an unwavering commitment to public service. In addition to his patrol and supervisory responsibilities, he served as the department's information technology specialist, helping modernize and maintain the technology that supports our offices and daily operations. Sergeant Mazzola is also a member of both the Grafton Police Motorcycle Unit and the Semlec Motor Unit, representing the department with distinction while supporting regional law enforcement operations and numerous community activities. Known for his calm, friendly demeanor and great sense of humor, Sergeant Mazzola was someone officers, town employees, and community members alike enjoyed working with. Whether solving a technical problem, mentoring a fellow officer, or simply brightening someone's day with a well-timed joke, Mike made a positive impact on those around him. His steady leadership, approachability, and willingness to help will be remembered just as much as his many professional accomplishments. For more than three decades, Sergeant Mazzola answered the call, mentored police officers, embraced new challenges, and made lasting contributions both behind the scenes and on the road. His dedication and expertise have left a lasting impact on the Grafton Police Department. On behalf of everyone at the Grafton Police Department, we extend our heartfelt gratitude to Sergeant Mazzola for his 31 years of faithful service. We wish Mike and his family many years of good health, happiness, and well-deserved relaxation as he begins this next chapter. Congratulations, Sergeant Mazzola, on your well-earned retirement, and thank you for your 31 years of dedicated service to the town of Grafton. You will be greatly missed by your Grafton Police Department family. article from the Grafton Police Department's Facebook page dated July 16th, Missing Endangered Senior. We are asking for the community's help locating John Amadei, a resident of Crescent Manor Rest Home, who was last seen on July 13th, 2026. Description includes male, balding, gray hair, 5'7", approximately 165 pounds, last seen wearing blue plaid pajama pants and a light blue top, wearing sneakers, maybe carrying a black backpack. Last known location, he was seen exiting a yellow cab at the Walmart located at 25 Tobias Bolin Way in Worcester. Due to his current mental health state, he is considered endangered, and his family and caregivers are very concerned for his safety. If you have seen John or have any information on his whereabouts, please call 911 immediately or contact the Grafton Police Department at 508-839-2858. The next article comes to us from the Grafton News, dated July 22, 2026. Grafton man powers his way to gold in Special Olympics. Michael DeLuca has been involved in Special Olympics since he was 9 years old. He has gotten a lot out of the organization, he said. That includes more than the medals he has won in the competitions, including representing Special Olympics Massachusetts in the recent 2026 Special Olympics U.S. Games. I have made lifelong friends and get together with people all year around. Sometimes we meet to go to the movies or lunch or any other thing we want to try, like axe throwing, DeLuca said. It has helped me to learn discipline, dedication, and how to eat right and treat my body, he said, as well as a good attitude. Even though I have disabilities, I have never let that stop me from being a positive person, DeLuca said. DeLuca has been involved in athletics from a young age. My mom and dad put me in an adaptive ski school when I was 7 years old in Killington, Vermont, where ski instructors interested or suggested they sign me up for the Special Olympics. That's when my mom and dad found Neshoba Shooting Stars. Once involved in Special Olympics, he got interested in trying other sports. Being involved in Special Olympics gave me confidence and resilience and a group of friends that accepted me for who I am, DeLuca said. I love to ski. That has always been my passion, and I love to compete. The confidence that I gained being involved in the Neshoba Shooting Stars made me want to work as hard as I could to try and be the best I could be. The hard work paid off in competitions. His skiing ability was displayed in an international competition when he was only 15 years old. I went to the World Games for Special Olympics in 2013, which was held in South Korea, where I won a gold and bronze medal for skiing. He said, by working extremely hard, I was able to win gold medals, which allowed me to participate in the state, USA, and World Games. When ski season was over, I looked into other sports that I could participate in during the summer months. That is when I signed up for track. When I showed up to compete in the track meet, I was approached by the powerlifting coach, and he convinced me that I was a great candidate for powerlifting, DeLuca said. Meeting Andre Aureliano got him involved in powerlifting, DeLuca said. I started training with the powerlifting coach, Andre Aureliano, who owns Barbell 88 Gym in Milford. Andre trained me, and I thank him for encouragement and the time he spent with me, helping me with all the different techniques I needed to get to where I am now. Andre is also the flag football coach, leading DeLuca to get involved with that sport as well. DeLuca grew up in Northbridge and graduated from Northbridge High in 2014. In high school, he played football, wrestled, and played tennis, expanding his athletic versatility. I love to compete, but I love to the positive energy that comes with being involved with this program, DeLuca said. But with competition comes something more. What I love more is the camaraderie that I have when I'm participating, he said. As a seasoned veteran of sports, he is taking on a new role. I love that the program is growing, and I get help mentor new kids and want to learn how to power lift. Power has led to personal bests that demonstrate how much power he has under control. Deadlifts, 390 pounds. Bench, 210 pounds. And squat, 355 pounds. But his success is helped with supporters. Team Massachusetts concluded the 2026 Special Olympics USA Games held recently in Minneapolis, Minnesota with 33 medals. DeLuca's contribution was earning 3 gold medals and 1 silver, including the overall combination championship in his division. DeLuca continues to train for powerlifting and flag football, which will start again in the fall. Following news, information, and announcements are for the towns of Millbury and Sutton. Our first article dated July 22nd from the Millbury-Sutton Chronicle, where the bodies are buried. Sutton Center Cemetery gets a modern tech investigation. Sutton Center Cemetery may be wildly historic, 1719 or earlier, but it's currently undergoing a very modern exploration. Len Strozier of Omega Mapping Services of Columbus, Georgia, is walking the cemetery with what looks much like a spidery lawnmower or a line marker. He pauses regularly to do just that with a spray paint canister attached to the side. That spray paint is a sign that the most important part of Strozier's equipment has discovered something interesting. Ground-penetrating radar, known as GPR, has found a grave. The radar unit is a small box that rides close to the ground and detects not bodies, but everything that accompanied the bodies into the ground, such as shrouds or coffins, as well as the bubble left in the ground when bodies and everything else has deteriorated. While Strozier and the GPR unit seem to be walking randomly, they're recording something that is not at all random and is common to almost all cemeteries, a west-to-east orientation. That's no accident, Len points out. In Christian burials, Christians are buried with their heads in the west, feet in the east, in other words, facing east, where the evangelist Matthew says Jesus will rise. While the graves follow this prescription, the directions weren't always exact. Many of the graves, Strozier says, are off by 2 or 3 degrees from an exact east-west location. The stone wall that outlines the cemetery, however, is indeed exact. Many of the graves Strozier is finding are unmarked, though he expects to find, in some cases, a monument that has fallen and has been sinking into the ground for some time, which could help identify who was buried there. In New England, as most New Englanders know, the soil is rocky and cemeteries are no exception. In some cases, the stony outcroppings that seem random have become the grave monuments, though they mostly remain uncarved. Sutton Senior Cemetery, that is Sutton's Center Cemetery, sometimes called the Sutton Town Cemetery, is only one of more than a dozen in town, and though records are scarce in some cases, it's likely it's the oldest. The unexpected death at an early age of a William King in 1719 is written about in accounts in the Historical Society, and those accounts listed him as buried in the town cemetery. King's later relatives are all there as well, in a chained-off area of the cemetery, making it likely that he was there too, and was the first. Official records don't start until 1744. The business of mapping. As Strozier investigates the cemetery, he's using math as well as science. As of Friday morning, July 17th, Len had located more than 300 graves, 40% casketed, 60% buried with shrouds, and judging from the size of the caskets, Strozier has been able to add another sad statistic. 30% of them are children. As Strozier marks the graves he finds, his son Brandon Strozier is using technology to help create a map of astounding specificity. When completed, the map will show the global positioning systems, or GPS, coordinates of each grave. The unremarkable-looking box that contains the GPR is about 20 years old, and that's how long Strozier has been doing this. He has learned the skill from another mentor, Bob Perry, of Nashua, New Hampshire's Topographics. That's also where GPR equipment was made by GSSI in Nashua. Strozier's business is based in South Carolina, but he's used the GPR all over the U.S. and has learned an astounding amount of cemeteries. And in some course of investigation, he encountered many who are fascinated as he is by what the GPR uncovers and about the attributes of these special places. All this knowledge has led Strozier to another rather rare skill. He's invented a word for these folks who are fascinated and want to learn all they can about cemeteries. Strozier has invented cemeterians. Strozier has copyrighted the word, but he's willing to share it with our readers. While it's technology that's the center of Strozier's business, one of his tools is very old-fashioned indeed. I can feel it in my feet, he said. As Strozier walks old cemeteries, his feet can feel the subtle ways the earth has changed, which can indicate a place that needs investigation and is likely the site of a grave that has gradually deteriorated. Before he leaves Sutton for his next assignment, Strozier will be investigating Marble Cemetery as well, and he'll be leaving behind a detailed record of the town's historical burials. Strozier's project has been paid for by the Sutton Historical Society donations. Historical Society member Ross Weaver got his start as a cemeterian, as many others do, through genealogy. Genealogists find themselves looking up old ancestors in cemeteries quite frequently, and the stones with an ancestor's name on them are sometimes the only record they can find. Though that appeals to genealogists in Weaver, it is also appeals to the historian. Weaver is a 10th generation Suttonian, and he has been learning and documenting the history as well as helping to restore the monuments in Sutton Cemetery for a long time. Among the hopes for those like Weaver, helping to preserve and restore as well as document the residents of Sutton cemeteries is that the Abbott cemeterians in the next generation will be lit with the spark to continue the work. That's not too far out of reach, Weaver said. The cemetery projects often have volunteers among the young, such as scouts who volunteer for cleaning and restoration. Among them, Weaver says, are those who don't find cemeteries frightening, no matter how many horror movies they've watched. They're not freaked out. They're interested. This one comes from the Asa Waters Mansion Facebook page. As darkness falls, history awakens. Imagine stepping into a candlelit mansion where every room tells a different story. Military officers quietly planning strategy, a surgeon tending to the wounded, families carrying on daily life, guards stand watch. This August, you'll experience history as it unfolds around you. Join us for our immersive candlelight tours, Part of History Comes Alive at the Asa Waters Mansion. Friday, August 7th, 123 Elm Street, Millbury, tours every 15 minutes from 7 to 10 p.m., $20 for adults, free for children 12 and under, and advance registration is required. Our next announcement from the Asa Waters Mansion Facebook page, the New England Brigade. History comes alive at the Asa Waters Mansion from August 7th to August 9th. The 15th Massachusetts Volunteer Infantry Reenactment Regiment, the Liberty Grays, and the Asa Waters Mansion are proud to announce a Civil War Living History event to be held at the historic Asa Waters Mansion. This event is designed to be an engaging experience for visitors of all ages with programming that emphasizes accuracy, historical interpretation alongside genuine community connection to the region's Civil War heritage. Times and admissions will be detailed during the announcement as planning is being finalized. This, once again, from August 7th to the 9th, history comes alive at the Asa Waters Mansion at 123 Millbury Street. The following announcement comes from the Millbury Senior Center's Facebook page for the month of August. Spotlight activities. Join us for these upcoming events on Wednesday, August 5th, Senator Moore's office hours from 10 to 11. Stop by to speak with a representative from Senator Moore's office. Then on Thursday, August 13th, movie, The Last Laugh. 2019, 12:30 p.m., sit back, relax, and enjoy a great movie with friends. And then on August 18th, that's a Tuesday, get set up at 11 a.m. Learn how to navigate the Get Set Up online learning platform. Then on Wednesday, August 19th, hearing clinic by appointment. Free hearing screenings provided by Hearing Health Solutions. On Thursday, August 20th, entertainment at lunch at 11 a.m. Enjoy live entertainment and a delicious lunch. There is no donation required. Monday, August 24th, coffee talk at 9 a.m. Join us for coffee, conversation, and community. And then on Monday, August 24th, craft with Celeste at 1 p.m. Get creative and have fun. All supplies are provided. More information about these and other programs during the month of August at the Millbury Senior Center, contact 508-865-9154. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Arnie Wenske. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more great programming from Audio Journal.
Hello once again, Audio Journal listeners. My name is Bill Ruggiero, giving you the latest weather forecast for Monday, July 27th, 2026. For today, we're looking at mostly sunny skies, highs up near 81 to 83 degrees. For tonight, mostly clear skies, low around 60 to 65 degrees. Now for your Tuesday, is calm for mostly sunny early, otherwise cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon. Some of the storms may produce frequent lightning, strong gusty winds, and heavy rainfall and small hail. Highs on Tuesday near 84 to 87 degrees. Tuesday night, humid with strong to severe thunderstorms likely. Low around 69 to 72 degrees. And the outlook for Wednesday is calm for mostly cloudy skies with showers and thunderstorms likely. Highs 81 to 83 degrees. That, folks, is your latest weather forecast for today. This is Monday, July 27th, 2026. This has been Bill Ruggiero saying have a good and happy day, everybody. And please stay tuned for more programming up next on Audio Journal. Take it easy, everybody. Have a great day. Bye.
This is not a public service announcement. This is a one-minute mystery.
Europeans love the game football, or what we commonly call soccer. The excitement of attending a game often increases dramatically when you're surrounded by the crowd screaming for their favorite teams and players. Not long ago, Coventry, England hosted a soccer tournament. Following the introduction of the players and the singing of the national anthem, an announcement came over the PA asking the crowd to keep the noise to a minimum throughout the game. Why would such a strange request be made?
And here's the solution to our mystery.
The tournament was being played by five teams of blind soccer players. The soccer ball they used was filled with 100 ball bearings. Everyone had to remain quiet so that the players could hear the ball's location.
And now back to our regular programming.